The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Busy news day. We're going to have it all broken down and analyzed for you. And as you just heard in Ursula's newscast, let's get to the breaking news this hour.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
But in something that is so unlike me, I'm going to digress for just a moment because it is kind of related. But I just a few minutes ago got an email from listener Brandon. It is related to our breaking news story. Dory, I was watching the Husky men's basketball game last night against San Diego, and a commercial promotion video came up for Seattle Pacific University. Was watching a runner run through the city, showing how beautiful it is, the sound, Pike Place Market, Gasworks. Then she runs right by a couple of tents set up right on a downtown sidewalk. Looked brand new, as if they went out of their way to get them in the shot. Shortly after the voiceover, they talked about how diverse SPU is. It struck me as odd that you're trying to draw new students to your school, yet go out of your way to highlight what is plaguing the city. I'd understand it better if this were a hype video for UW or Wazoo, but a private Christian university, maybe we just have to accept the fact that this is what the left wants Seattle to be. And so he sent a YouTube clip or a link to this commercial. And yes, it shows Doris Brown Heritage, who was the great runner at SPU and track coach for decades and decades and decades. And then shows one of their current athletes running by the Amazon spheres through Gasworks. And then this.
Seattle is where I'm learning to grow and lead and serve.
And even as the world changes, it's still all about you.
Okay, and so right there, she's run by the Amazon spheres. And indeed, they were very careful to put a couple of tents in the shot in downtown Seattle. And that does strike me as odd, because if you're a parent whose kid is about to go off to college, one of the things that we are all desperately concerned about for our children is their safety when they go off to college. And the colleges and universities know that, because my wife and I did enough campus visits at enough different universities all around the country that one of the things they talked about was, oh, we got the blue button boxes all within 50 yards of every spot on campus. And if there's any emergency, anybody just gets to that and we'll respond. It was something they talked about, they tried to reassure parents about on a constant basis. And I bring this up, and I appreciate the listener who sent me the YouTube link and shared his thoughts, Brandon, because of the breaking news this hour. And that is that this massive four-alarm fire on Saturday night, the biggest fire in 8 years here in the region, was caused by arson. And I talked yesterday with the Grand Poobah of the Elks Lodge, which is about 2,000 feet away. And their lodge was burned, not down, but $250,000 worth of damage. This lumber yard on Lake Union, over $4 million worth of damage. And now they say that they said, Ursula, that the two fires they believe are unrelated?
As of right now. And so we're expecting to get more information in less than an hour from now. There's going to be a news conference.
I'd feel better if they were related. I'd feel twice as good if there's only one arsonist running around crazy along Lake Union. But if they're unrelated, then there are two people who are determined to. I mean, this Elks Lodge, they do so much philanthropically in the community. This lumber company provides jobs and has been there for decades and decades.
Almost 100 years.
Yeah, the building has been. The lumber company's been there for 70 or 80. And yeah, if there are people out there who just hate philanthropy and capitalism, or more likely, they're just crazy. We just have a lot of crazy people running around on the streets. And we see a lot of fires that start in these homeless encampments. There was the one up by Northgate last year where it jumped 10 lanes of freeway. That blaze was so big. And, you know, we've certainly seen, we're not the tinderbox that California is, But we've seen what can happen. And in California, this one wildfire is the biggest death toll of any wildfire in the history of the United States. And the fact that we are still tolerating the level of lawlessness, because there is an absolute connection between the politicians who have encouraged as much of this as possible for purely financial and political reasons. And then you have that, the heroin use, the encampments, the fires that are being set in these encampments illegally, and mental illness. It is all so very well connected. And we have a group of people running things around here politically who are completely unable to deal with any of this stuff because of the political prism through which they see everything. But I just, and getting back to Brandon's email, it strikes me as misguided to highlight the homeless tents in a recruiting video for Seattle Pacific University. And I know they're saying big challenges and we're going to provide big solutions. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we have the people running things around here, there's no college grads who are going to be able to come and fix things. There's no private individuals who are going to be able to overcome the political madness that has engulfed our region. And as crime skyrockets and depolicing skyrockets, the confluence of events is incredibly dangerous. So I find it very disturbing that both of these fires within 2,000 feet of each other were arson, and now we're being told they don't know if they're connected. But the bottom line is it's more evidence of the absolute lack, and it's not just in Seattle. This is region-wide. The absolute lack of political leadership around here. And I will note that the voters decided to validate last Tuesday, a week ago today, the abject failure of local leaders. Because as we talked about yesterday, the other party is dead and gone in King County. So they told the Democrats who are running things around here into the toilet that we want to validate what you're doing and give you even more power and control. And that just shows the sheep-like mentality of so many people around here. They don't look around and make independent decisions about if we're on the right track or not. They just vote purely through a political prism. And when you do that, you fail. And that's why so many things around our city. And if you think a $4 million, four-alarm, biggest arson fire in 8 years, if you don't think that's not an example of the failure around here, burning down an Elks Lodge that had done so much philanthropically, we're failing. And yet, we validate the failures. It continues to mystify me. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
The other big story, of course, is Amazon has made its decision for HQ2. They're going to go to the New York City borough of Queens and to suburban Washington, D.C. in Virginia. Which, let me give you a bunch of thoughts on all of this. First of all, what Amazon does by splitting it up like that is they now, as a company, own 6% of the United States Senate. Because the two senators here in our state, the two in New York, the two in Virginia, they are absolutely beholden to Amazon. And they will do their bidding in the Senate, as will most of the House members, but not all, as we're seeing today. Suburban Washington, D.C., I get that. Jeff Bezos has a big home there. He owns the Washington Post, and they want to have outsized lobbying influence with our federal government. Queens, I do not get on so many levels. First of all, I looked at a big picture website of the neighborhood in Queens into which they're moving, and they'll be sprucing up a blighted neighborhood, because that's not a It's not an attractive place right now, the area into which Amazon is moving. It's just not a pretty place. But here's the part that is particularly baffling. I truly thought that one of the reasons that Amazon was getting out of here was because they wanted to get away from what I was just talking about a couple of minutes ago, the absolute insane politics of our region.
No, Jeff Bezos is our enemy. He is our enemy. And we have to fight big business. The question is, will we have elected representatives who will fight with us or not?
Okay, so they get away in part from the lunatic that is Kashama Sawant, and they are running headlong into the lunatic that is also a Democrat socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York City, just elected to Congress, who has just been on a Twitter rampage against Amazon. So Amazon's going to bring 25,000 jobs, and they're going to be investing billions of dollars into New York City. You would think that the bartender-turned-politician would say, and a lot of these jobs are going to be six-figure, they say. You'd think that'd be good news for a socialist congresswoman-elect. But no, Alexandria Cortez, she hates Amazon as much as Sawant does. So here's her tweet storm from last night and this morning. We've been getting calls and outreach from Queens residents all day about this. The community's response? Outrage! And then moments later. Amazon is a billion-dollar company. The idea that it will receive hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks at a time when our subway is crumbling and our communities need more investment, not less, is extremely concerning to residents here. Okay, a couple of things about that. First of all, they haven't disclosed how much they're giving Amazon in tax breaks. But this was between the Democrats who run things there, the mayor, Bill de Blasio, and the governor, Cuomo. And do you think that they gave Amazon the Brinks truck? Probably, to bring 25,000 jobs. I mean, Seattle has destroyed much of the character of our city because of the growth that has ensued with Amazon. So, yeah, I'm sure that Bezos and his team played this the way a pro sports team owner does. And that is, hey, we'll move to your city. We'll move our franchise to your city, but you got to build us a new arena. So then she says, the idea that it'll receive hundreds of millions in tax breaks at a time when our subway is crumbling. The only way and the only reason the subway in New York City is crumbling is because of absolute graft and corruption. The New York City subway is funded to the tune of $15 billion, more than the GDP of many nations on earth. But when you have in New York, as in Seattle, when you have one party control of all of that money, you got a lot of graft and corruption. But nobody can say with any sense of logic that the New York City subway is crumbling because of a lack of tax money, because they get more than enough there. Then she goes on Twitter. When we talk about bringing jobs to the community, we need to dig deep. Has the company promoted to hire in the existing community? What's the quality of jobs and how many are promised? Are these jobs low wage or high wage? Are there benefits? Can people collectively bargain? Absolutely none of her business as a U.S. congresswoman. That's not her job. But that's what a socialist does. A socialist wants to control the means of production in the private sector. They want government to take over the means of production. Then she goes on. Displacement is not community development. Investing in luxury condos is not the same thing as investing in people and families. Shuffling working-class people out of a community does not improve their quality of life. Democrats have been in power in New York City forever. Bloomberg was a rhino. But Democrats have been in control for years, ever since Giuliani was out. And you're going to tell me that they haven't been able to create those good working class jobs? That, and now you're lamenting Amazon coming in? I tell you what, after reading these tweets, I think Bezos and his team are insane to go into the mouth of the lion. You're trying to get, if they thought that Sawant was annoying, and they did, and rightfully so, but then you ditch Sawant so you can go to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is working passionately, feverishly, diligently to gin up as much anti-Amazon hate within minutes of their announcement. I know they wanted to own the two New York senators. They want to be near Wall Street. I get all of that. They're business decisions. But I think they are insane to go into the socialist district. And then a lot of people have been emailing me, texting about, is Amazon, do you think Amazon's going to eventually pull out of Seattle? There's no way of knowing. You know, it depends on what happens next year. 7 of the 9 city council members are up for re-election. Are we going to get rid of most of them? Probably, because they're horrible. Are we going to replace them with something better? Given the track record of the voters around here? Probably not. And if we go in a worse direction, do I think Amazon would pull out? Eh. Yeah, it would cost a lot of money to get out of here. They got 45,000 jobs here. It's Jeff Bezos' hometown. So it would take something extraordinary. But I would not put it past the political power brokers and the voters around here to do something extraordinary when this city council, most of it, comes up for re-election next year. So we'll see. We'll see if what this means long-term. But I don't think anybody can say with any sense of certainty right now what it means for the long-term future of Amazon around here. And all of that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hey, we're going to unveil a brand-new feature next on the Dori Monson Show. There are so many stories. You know, the ones I was just talking about, I think we're right to get ticked off about what's happening around here. But there are a lot of stories designed strictly to gin up outrage around the country, these trending viral stories. And I got to have your help to know which ones I should actually care about. It's Outrage. Brand new segment next on the Dori Monson Show. Oh, I'm going to need your help here on the Online Trading Academy text line. I'm very excited. I'm debuting a brand new feature on the Big Show.
I don't even know about it. It's that new.
It's very, very exciting. So there's so many stories in the news that, because I get really ticked off about what happens around our city, around our region.
You think?
The stuff that's good national that's trending today. I have to decide because I have to parse out my outrage. So I'm going to have the listeners help me prioritize which ones of these
I should
get really furious about. Yeah, it's our brand new feature called Outrage!
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat.
By the way, have you ever seen this movie, Network?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
One of the greatest movies of all time. And the thing is, I can relate to Howard Beale, except he was going crazy 24 hours a day. Yes. I only go crazy for 3 hours
a day.
It's
so true.
I know. I just parse it out.
Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to the
window. Where are you going? I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Open it and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling.
Help! 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 I can't take this anymore!
Okay.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
And so for today's debut episode of Outrage. So a bunch of stories that you've no doubt heard about if you're following the news at all online. Let's start at this high school in Wisconsin, where a bunch of kids, the boys in this high school, called Baraboo High School, they're all wearing suits and ties, and they did a class photo, and in it, they moronically, almost all of them, threw up the Nazi hand salute. There's one kid in the top right of the photo who looks uncomfortable. He does not throw up the Nazi hand salute. But they tweeted out the picture, and they said, "We even got the black kid to throw it up. Hashtag Baraboo proud." Okay, stupid? Absolutely. But I was a little surprised when I saw CBS covering the story.
Police in Wisconsin are investigating a disturbing prom photo.
Okay, time out. Police are investigating? We're going to investigate moronic acts by juvenile boys? Because I guarantee you we don't have enough jail space if police get involved every time a 14 to 17-year-old boy does something stupid. Now, they talked to this kid, Jordan Blue, who refused to participate in the photo. And he said, "I look uncomfortable. I've been bullied by these kids for years. I wouldn't participate in it with them." He talked to CBS as well.
As soon as I heard the photographer say, "Raise your hand," I knew what was going to happen.
What did the photographer say?
I just remember he said, raise your hand.
Did he say anything to make it clear that it was raise your hand in this way as this Nazi symbol?
He did not say raise your hand in a Nazi symbol way. And I'm pretty sure my classmate just interpreted as raise your hand. Let's do this as a joke.
Do you think the other kids know what that symbol represented?
I think they did. It did not represent my morals, and I could not do something that I didn't believe in.
Okay, the photographer on that photo.
Yeah, you said you're going to do a segment called Outrage, and I know. Can I just do one little segment that I just made up right now?
Yeah.
Which is, how cool is that kid? A kid who's already been bullied.
Oh, yeah.
To stand
that's gutsy.
Up, that is
that's gutsy.
So gutsy.
Yeah, because.
Love that kid.
Look, I mean, every other kid in the photo, and there are probably 15 per row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 60 kids. 59 of them have the Nazi hand salute going.
Which is, well, actually 58. One of them's doing the white power.
Right, one of them's got the OK sign in the front middle row for, the white power. The photographer says that the kids were just waving.
I had said to them, "Okay, boys, you're going to say goodbye to your parents. So wave." For society to now turn it around and blame these kids is absolutely wrong.
Okay, seriously?
He's sticking to that story.
Yeah.
No, because he probably has some role in it.
Okay, but what are the police doing involved? Why do we have...
I'm going to call appropriate reporting, because I'm sure that this is not a police priority, but I'm guessing it's a school priority.
Oh, but the police are involved. I mean, they're reporting that accurately. And, I tell you what, on CNN, Cuomo and Don Lemon, they were just horrified.
All right, here's the photo I wish I didn't have to show you, okay? It's from a high school in Wisconsin. It's going viral.
Okay, they did like a five-minute segment last night on this.
This is why every single day we work hard to educate. We need to explain what is the danger of hateful ideology rising. Auschwitz, with its gas chambers, was at the very end of the long process of normalizing and accommodating hatred. Let's bring in D. Lemon on this.
D. Lemon? Is that what they're calling him now?
Well, Chris does.
D. Lemon?
Yeah, always.
Let's get D. Lemon.
If you were to take CNN out of it, though, because CNN can be so annoying, if you were to take CNN out of it,
that's just
would
a
you not, really not
stupid
be,
comment.
Would you not be
that
thinking, oh my God, how...
We're comparing a bunch of moron high school boys to Auschwitz. And I mean, that's so dumb. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare it to Auschwitz.
Teenage boys are morons.
Yeah, trust me, I've raised two of them.
I know it.
One student in the picture, who wished to remain anonymous, said the photographer, instructed the boys to raise their hands.
Yeah, except that kid did a big interview with CBS. Sorry, CNN. The anonymous kid did a big, long interview with CBS. Guess you missed that one. Where was D. Lemon on that one?
That's their excuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. When I was older, they 17, right? I wouldn't have done it when I was 17. I don't know why. Why do we have to block it out?
Because a lot of them are minors.
They put it on.
By the way, as I speak, I look up at the TV monitor on CNN. photo outrage. Investigation into high school students appearing to make Nazi salute. So there, but and it's you know, just a continuation of.
What do you think should happen to the kids?
You know, if the school wants to discipline them, they should. If the parents want to discipline them, they should. There's.
But it wasn't on school property. It wasn't school related. Right. So
there's
why. How do you defend the school being able
there's
to
There's no way the cops... What are the cops supposed to do?
Nothing.
The cops, they're a bunch of moron teenage boys who peer pressure. Maybe some didn't know what they were doing. Maybe most of them did. Maybe a lot of them didn't want to raise their hand, but because you're 15 years old and you feel that kind of peer pressure. And CNN, it's been like their dominant story since last night.
Well, there was also a suggestion that during the election... that same community was getting propaganda from white nationalists as well. So they may have a problem there. Because look, let's to your original point, it's not the kind of...
So they're making this, they're connecting this to the election somehow. So
maybe that can be the investigation. Maybe we say, how come they didn't know this was a bad thing?
Well, I think that the police, as far as what I'm reading, is the police are trying to help the district. I think the district's kind of isolate and probably trying to figure out how this came about, who's responsible, et cetera, et cetera.
And look, it's a private school, so a private school can discipline kids with much greater latitude. If this was a public school, believe it or not, the kids have free speech, First Amendment rights to be morons, every bit as much as anybody else. So anyway, it's been just a constant story. Okay, so that's number one. I hope you have a pen and paper so you can write all these down, because I need you to prioritize. Here's number two. In GQ magazine, they usually have a Men of the Year issue. But this month, they have a cover photo of Serena Williams and a friend of Serena's. They said, hey, why don't you write instead of men, cross out the word men. And so Serena's friend in a big permanent marker crossed out the word men and wrote woman in quotation marks. And now I just found out we're supposed to be outraged by GQ's Woman of the Year cover. They said, according to social media users, that because the word woman was written in quotation marks, that it is transphobic and xenophobic, not xenophobic, anti-woman. And they said, well, but it was Serena's friend who wrote it. But according to one person who posted, it was inappropriate, dangerous, racist, and transphobic. How's that transphobic? Serena Williams is married. She's heterosexual. She's a woman. Fantastic athlete. Best tennis player of all time. How's that transphobic? Should I be outraged about this? Okay, so the Nazi hand salute. The GQ Serena cover. I've got two more. And then I just need you to drop me a text and let me know which ones I should be genuinely outraged by and why. Okay, we'll continue with our brand new feature, Outrage.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
In just a moment, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's our brand new segment, Outrage, where we take four stories that everybody in the country seems to be talking about, and I need you to just prioritize them for me. We got you the Nazi hand salute. We got you the, what was the other one? The Nazi hand salute. Oh, the GQ Serena cover. Text me at 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. And let me know how I should prioritize all of these as I go forward. Here's outrage number three. Last night on Monday Night Football, ESPN's Jason Witten, who does the color, he was talking about the greatest running backs ever in the NFL who never won a Super Bowl. And he said this.
Think of all the great running backs, and I would certainly put Barkley in there, that never got to a Super Bowl. O.J. Simpson, Eric Dickerson, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, they never got an opportunity. I guess LaDainian Tomlinson did, but the other ones, they didn't have that franchise quarterback. And you got to take him if you think he is a franchise quarterback, and certainly I felt like Sam Darnold was.
Oh, there was immediate outrage because he mentioned O.J. Simpson is a great running back who never won a Super Bowl, which, by the way, is all true. But immediately, out of all the running backs Jason Witten could have compared Saquon Barkley to, the first name out of his mouth was O.J. Simpson. He shouldn't have mentioned a mass murderer, even though everything he said was true. How outraged should I be about that on ESPN last night? And then there's this, outrage number four. Victoria's Secret is facing a backlash of outrage after this. So in their fashion shows, Victoria's Secret, it's not the most important or the biggest fashion show in the world, but it's the only one that's televised globally. 42 countries carry it. So it's kind of high in visibility. And they have a very winning formula. They have very beautiful models. And so it seems like both men and women, you know, like to watch it. These things don't get ratings like they used to, but they still do okay with it. But there has been a steady drumbeat online asking why in your runway fashion shows don't you have plus size or transgender models? And so the chief marketing officer of Victoria's Secret did an interview with Vogue. And he said, we've considered that. We've considered both plus size and transgender. He said, but we decided not to do it. Here's what he said. Shouldn't you have transsexuals in the show? No, I don't think we should, he said. Well, why not? Because the show is a fantasy. It's a 42-minute entertainment special. That's what it is. It's the only one of its kind in the world. Okay, so people are furious because he said transsexuals. Because according to GLAAD, while some people do identify as transsexual, transgender or trans are considered the preferred umbrella terms. And then he went on to say in the Vogue interview, we attempted to do a television special for plus sizes in 2000. No one had any interest in watching it. Still don't. And so a trans model on YouTube, Gigi Gorgeous, she's furious.
To say that I'm disappointed is such an understatement for me. Victoria's Secret is not just a brand to me. It was a way of life. It was me coming into my femininity. It was a part of my transition and me feeling like a woman. So it's a huge slap in the face. It's extremely astronomically beyond disrespectful that this is real.
Okay, I have so much genuine outrage for what's going on here in the Puget Sound area. I got to dole it out with all these other stories. So the kid high school Nazi salute pic, the GQ Serena cover, where they put woman in quotation marks, but it was her friend who wrote that. ESPN daring to mention OJ, and Victoria's Secret not having plus size or transgender models. Which one should I be most outraged at? Online Trading Academy text line 98973. Big Fast 15 is next.